This is a Haunted Attraction Network production. Achieve more with all our products at www.hauntedattractionnetwork.com.
This is Haunting the Globe. Short but intense interviews from haunted attractions around the world.
Ricky, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Oh, very good. It's as we're talking, it's in the middle of the crazy time, so I'm doing as well as can be expected of any haunt owner.
Ricky, what should someone expect from Castle Blood?
To be honest, they should expect to have to use their brains a little bit. They're horror fans or any kind of genre, you know, fandom, geekiness, nerdiness in general. They're going to love this place because it takes all the classic monster stuff, vampires and witches and goblins and monsters and all that, and twist it into our version of a traditional attraction walkthrough. But it is an interactive one, and I know a lot of people say we're an interactive haunt. Well, to be quite honest, and I don't mean anything bad about any of my haunt brothers and sisters, if an actor goes boo and you scream, that's not interactive. That's just how it's supposed to be. So there really is a whole lot of give and take. In fact, you play a game as you go through. And I'm sure that's something interesting we'll be getting into later. From room to
Definitely,
room, you do have to participate and do actually have to do things, which seems like a popular trend these days, but I've been doing it for over 20 years here.
Can you give us a little bit of the history of Castle Blood and how you got to where you are today?
Sure. Well, we actually started back in the early 90s as a yard haunt, just handing out candy for Halloween. We would have all our friends come over and do the big party, but before that, we would decorate the front of the house and all that, like, you know, like there's one in every neighborhood, right? And do that, except that the people that were invited to the party were all performers, magicians, clowns, variety artists, jugglers, professional costumers, and prop builders, because those are my friends. It was a little more extreme right from the start. And, you know magicians. They're not going to hand a kid a piece of candy. They're just not going to do it. They're going to have to hear it somehow, you know, that kind of stuff. And that kind of started the ball rolling with us right from the beginning that our haunt would be a little bit different. It's in the storyline, owned by vampires. And, you know, if you're owned by vampires, well, they should have powers. They should be able to do things. So we use magic and mentalism and traditional classic entertainment kind of disciplines to make it seem like we have those powers. And after that, well, things just got out of hand. It took a couple years until it was big enough for us to start charging. That got really out of hand, so we had to go buy our first building. We were there for 2 years. Then we moved, and we were on our own big piece of property with the house and everything for 16 years. And now we've been in Menneson for 4 years, 2 years in a nice rental place that was way too normal and office building looking. And now this will be our second year and hopefully our permanent and final location, which also is a 100-year-old funeral parlor, which adds to the creep factor immensely around here.
What a journey you guys have gone through, especially starting as a yard haunt. That's awesome. Jumping now to 2015, what do you guys have in store for us this year?
As I was mentioning, the game aspect of it has kind of, well, swept America, you know, from Japan to America with these escape rooms. So we're kind of on our toes as far as what the game is going to be here, because we feel like we've been doing this for forever. Now everybody's sort of doing it. It's not really what we do, but, you know, sort of. So we've had to write the story a little more interesting this time. It might be a little tougher to win. But this year we're also, now that we've been in this old building for so long, for the 2 years now working on it, things have happened in the building, and we've collected stories from the neighbors about things that happened in this building, especially when it's empty, you know? It was empty for 6 years before we got it. So, of course, the urban explorers were in and all kinds of other stuff were in, and there's a lot of interesting stories about this creepy old place. So we're kind of weaving that into it all, so much so that we have ghost hunter-type people that want to come investigate the building now and all that
excellent
stuff. So, yeah, it's a... You know, I'm at peace with everything that happens when we're in here in the middle of the night working, but not everybody is, even some of the customers. They get kind of wigged out just by being in here, so it really works to our advantage, and we're going to push that as far as the story this year. You're going to have to deal with some of the things that actually happened here years and years ago.
I love that play on the history, the physical history of the building. That's excellent.
Well, we don't make it like we're lost in time, like when you step through the castle, it's 1750 or anything like that. No, we're current, we're modern. Just because we're a couple hundred years old doesn't mean we don't know it isn't 2015, you know?
Yeah, right.
So we embrace our heritage as far as having to move a few times over the years, but we also embrace the heritage of it's just a natural fit for us to be in this building. So we're loving that heritage as well. And of course, that's a slippery slope to not disrespect how many people were laid out here over the 100 years. But there are some bizarre stories and happenings, and that's what we're going to actually concentrate on.
I want to talk a little bit about you. Ricky, why did you get into the haunt industry, and what has motivated you to keep going through all of these moves and through all of these hurdles throughout the years? What's motivated you, and why did you get into it?
Well, Halloween is what motivates me, Halloween and costuming in general. I have pictures of myself in homemade costumes since about 1967. So that's always been the thing. Halloween was always my favorite holiday. It was a big deal. I definitely, you know, I lived in a place in New Jersey which was the perfect stereotype, like you see on TV, trick-or-treating neighborhood. My neighborhood looked like the one in the Wonder Years, just like that.
Oh, and excellent.
And it was the same time period for me. I'm like the same age as that kid in that show. So it was just a genuinely wonderful time. I had friends in the neighborhood who had birthday parties in October, and those were all traditional, like you dream about today, kid birthday parties that were Halloweenish, you know, stuff like that. So it's always been a part of me, and the costuming has always been a part of me. And in the 70s, I found science fiction fandom conventions, you know, long before Comic-Con and, you know, all the cosplay stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my goodness, I can make costumes all year round? You know, it never even occurred to me before, right? And through this, throughout all this time, I was a famous Monsters magazine reader and trying to learn how to do makeup and cutting up horrible wigs to try and be Wolfman and, you know, all the stuff you did in the 60s and 70s, because there was no interwebs, there was no instruction out there anywhere, there was no nothing, right?
Yeah, it was just experimentation.
Yeah. Always just been a part of me. In the late 70s, I tripped upon a makeup studio in Red Bank, New Jersey, and I started kind of hanging out there and then got hired as a makeup artist once I learned stuff. And in 1983, the lady in the same town who owned the costume shop passed away, and sadly so had my parents, which meant my sister and I had a little money, so we bought the costume shop. So we owned a costume shop with a full makeup studio in it as well, where we would do as many as 500 faces over the holiday season.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and kind of went through, you know, I haven't had like a normal job since the 70s. You know? So.
Now, my next question here, Ricky, is what have been some of the unexpected hurdles and also the unexpected benefits that you've experienced throughout all of this?
Well, the benefits of haunting is the creative outlet and meeting all the other people. You know, I mean, we sort of did this before the industry, quote, started. You know, I was actually at that first cocktail party in the mid-90s out of the Transworld Halloween show where they tried to get haunters together to meet each other. So that's actually
that must have been incredible. Yeah, that must have been incredible.
It was. And I was still tiny back then, and it was interesting who was willing to talk to me and who wasn't, depending on, you know, how big your numbers are, you know, as if that has value to you as a person.
Yes.
And that's
changed
a lot now. Luckily, that's a different thing now. So that's been the good part. I mean, I've been able to work with other companies and build haunts all over the country and travel all over the country to do that. So that's been great. Some of the hardships are just keeping it going, to be honest. We are a very artsy kind of haunt, as you can imagine, in a chainsaw world, we are not that. We are more of a theater group, theater troupe that does things here. And always finding, even after 23 years, finding new customers one at a time, one handshake at a time, so that they understand what we're about. Because there's a large part of the overall American population that doesn't want to go through a regular haunt.
Yes.
But they love Halloween.
That's true.
So if I can convince them to come here, they love what we do here. It's not a problem. I mean, there's plenty of room for every single kind of style in the industry. It's just hard for us to explain what we do on a mass thing because everybody has such preconceived notions about haunted attractions. So that's been the tough part. A divorce in the middle of it wasn't easy, that's for sure. Mm. You know, when we moved, like I said, we've been in two locations in the last 4 years. Well, after 16 years as a permanent attraction, having to totally rebuild from scratch twice in 3 years, that was the biggest hardship of my life, to be honest. I have a crew that works their butts off for me, and we manage.
I think it's kind of underplayed how devastating that could have been to have been in a place for so long, and then to have to move and rebuild everything and almost like an entire rebranding in a way, because you're associated with a place and a time and a location, and then you move, and 16 years is a very long time. I mean, it's almost like a lifetime of a customer. You could have a
customer.
Absolutely.
Not all my customers have found me yet. My old property still looks like an old gray house. It doesn't look that different if you looked at it from the street, you know? Yeah. So it's like, not everybody goes to a haunt every single year. So it kind of takes time for them to understand, hey, no, we're over here now. It's only like 15 miles away. But, it's been, not all my customers have found me here yet again. Although I'm so much closer to Pittsburgh, we have tons of new customers, so we're doing okay. But it's still, that was the biggest hardship for sure, moving twice.
Yeah, moving twice, and definitely, I like what you said there, being an artsy haunt in a chainsaw world. It's definitely, or what's cool right now is the chainsaw world kind of thing, I think.
Well, and whether that's cool or not, and whether it's a lot or not, it's the general everyday man on the street gets perception that's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. And so kind of fighting against those perceptions is
I mean, like horror part. Fans and haunt fans and people that are really into all this kind of stuff, oh, they get that there's a million different kind of haunts. They get it totally. But that's not enough people to pay the bills for every haunt in the country. We need everyday regular folks that just want to go have a good time on Saturday night.
What do you listen to when you're in those long haul haunt construction days and you're just trying to head down and bury it?
Well, if I'm here by myself, it's either a baseball game for those couple hours, or I am true to my Jersey roots and I will just blast every Springsteen album I have for hours on end, making all my 15, 16, and 17-year-old actors' ears want to bleed. but usually otherwise, we actually will just pipe through some of our seasonal music, you know, the equivalent of Pandora's Halloween party mix kind of thing that we've just made a bunch of mix CDs over the years. And I kind of try and raise the young ones on all that 50s and 60s Halloween rock and roll kind of stuff. So that's what we listen to.
Thank you, Ricky, for taking the time to speak with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I do truly appreciate it. Everything we can do to get out the word really means a lot to us here.
This is a Haunted Attraction Network production. Achieve more with all our products at www.hauntedattractionnetwork.com.